With that in mind, let's talk a little bit about MDS.
Okay. So MDS is a field where there's quite a bit of excitement because 10 years ago, for example, we had nothing to offer to patients with MDS. All we could offer is the proper diagnosis, and then we observe the patients or we give them supportive care with transfusions and more recently with the growth factors. Over the past 5 years, there's been very dynamic, positive research in that arena. And I think the first important building block is the discovery of the activity of the hypomethylating agents with azacitidine and decitabine. Both of these agents have been approved in the United States for the treatment of all MDS and CML categories based on improvement in transfusion requirements. But now there is a study from Europe which came out comparing azacitidine to best supportive care, which would have been chosen by the physician and the patient before the randomization, so it could consist of either low-dose RAC, intensive chemotherapy, or supportive care. And that study has shown a distinct survival advantage for azacitidine. So this is the first time ever outside the setting of allogeneic transplant where we have an agent that changes the natural course of the disease. And the figures of the median survivals were about 25 months with azacitidine versus 15 months with the standard of care. And the two-year survival almost doubled from 25 to 52%. Another area which is important is patients with lower risk MDS who have a deletion 5q and are red cell transfusion dependence. And this is where lenalidomide has shown a transfusion independence rate of 66%, a complete cytogenetic response rate of about 45%, and the median duration of responses in terms of transfusion independence of about 27 months. So this drug has also been approved for that particular indication, although many people are using it perhaps not wisely outside the indication, for example, for high-risk MDS with deletion 5q. I think those studies still need to be done. Now, there is a very rare entity in MDS and CMML where you have a translocation involving chromosome 5 at the breakpoint of 5q33, which is the site of the PDGF receptor molecule, and that translocation can be between chromosome 5 and any other chromosome, and that results in maybe 2% of the MDS-CMML disorders, but those are exquisitely sensitive to imatinib therapy, which is the treatment for Philadelphia-positive CML. So these are the approved indication: the hypomethylating agents for MDS-CMML, lenalidomide for the treatment of low-risk MDS, red cell transfusion dependence, 5q abnormality, and the imatinib for that rare subset of disorders. Outside that setting, we know that the growth factors are improving the outcome of MDS in terms of quality of life, and there are some studies that are showing even a survival benefit. These are not randomized studies, but retrospective studies showing survival benefit for patients with low-risk MDS, low transfusion needs who receive the growth factors like erythropoietins. Other areas of importance and research is the iron overload in MDS, because now we have oral chelating agents like XJ that could be used in that setting. So there are a lot of studies demonstrating that perhaps some of the mortality in MDS is related to excessive iron overload and cardiac or liver problems or adrenal dysfunctions. And finally, again, we should not forget that allogeneic transplant, particularly the modifications of the non-ablative stem cell transplants, are potentially curative in MDS. But the indication for allogeneic transplant is usually earlier in higher-risk MDS and later in the lower-risk MDS to maximize the benefit of the number of years lived on average for all the patients.